CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness. Mikael Mir's financial consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul with Friends with Lori Houston. And today is the last Friday of the month. So it is the 30th of December. And we have Tom Campbell with us today, who is, well, he's a physicist by nature. And I think that's what gives him such a great edge, because it makes him very inquisitive about everything. So he's testing everything. So when it comes to consciousness, I think we have a very different perspective, but a very interesting perspective on consciousness and the non-physical and the physical world. So welcome again, Tom.
Thank you, Lori. It's my pleasure to be here and talk with you. I always enjoy our little talks.
Now, we're actually recording this a little bit before, because the station is mostly off. So we just wanted to make sure that we got our holiday show in. I don't know. We're going to talk about the energy of Christmas. But for anybody who wants to get in contact with Tom, his website is my-big-toe.com. So my big toe hyphens in between .com. And he has a great deal of information on there. Plus, he's on YouTube, Thomas Campbell. If you look up his name, he's got a lot of information available to you. But we're going to talk about, just because I find it so fascinating around this time of year, I always get very excited. And I know that there's a different energy for me when it comes to the holidays or Christmas. Maybe it's the time off. But I think there's more to it than that. But I guess before we can get into that, that means you're going to have to discuss the non-physical as well as the physical and consciousness a bit. But just to explain, you know, what it is that could possibly be why I get so excited around this time of year.
Well, all right. Actually, I do too. It's a very pleasant time of year, I think. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on in this holiday and Christmas season. You have, well, of course, obviously, you have the religious, you know, celebration of Jesus' birthday. You have that going on, and let's put that under religious dogma. That's one thing that's going on. And then you have spiritual things going on. And these are not mutually exclusive, by the way. They're all kind of interlaced with each other. You have spiritual things going on, which have to do with the fact that during this season we tend to think more about others and giving and what we can do that make others happy than we do the rest of the year. That's, I think, the kind of an otherness focused of this time of year. It's a very social time of the year. It's actually kind of one big party from, you know, before Christmas. There's office parties. There's, you know, parties at your friends' houses, and you go to see your, you know, your relatives and your in-laws, and so it's like one long party. Then that culminates in a New Year's Eve party at the end. So it's a very social time as well. And it's very focused on children. You know, it's a very child-focused time of the year, which is always fun if you have young children around, whether they're your children or grandchildren, or even your neighbor's children. Doesn't matter. I think kind of being around young children around Christmas time is always a lot of fun, because they have such wonderful energy. They're so excited about it. So we just have a lot of things happening. You know, even people who are not, you know, we think of this as a Christian holiday, but even those in our culture who are not Christian, the Jewish and Muslim particularly, often they will celebrate Christmas, maybe in a quiet way, and they may not advertise it a whole lot, but I've had any number of friends that were non-Christian that went ahead and did little Christmas things and exchange gifts, and you kind of get caught up in the whole cultural energy of it, And it's not just a religious holiday anymore. It's a cultural happening, if you will. Yes. And it's got a lot of good energy associated with it. And again, I think that's because we start focusing on others more. And there's some underlying stuff those people that can look at a glass half full and see that it's half empty instead of half full, there's lots of things to fuss about. There's the commercialism. There's the Black Friday when people are macing each other, you know, to get the deals. You know, where's the Christmas spirit and all of that? And, there's this buy. That we're pushed by the psychologists and the marketing people to turn this into a very big commercial success for the retailers. But that's looking at the glass as half empty. Yes, we have all that, but if retailers could stampede us in June or July to spend, they would if they could, but they can't. And they can during the Christmas holidays because we're more in a giving mood. We're more thinking about, well, what can I do? What can I get for so-and-so that would really make them happy? We're going to go see the, friends and in-laws that we don't see. And it's just kind of a very very positive time of year for most people. Although, some people tend to get depressed over Christmas and holidays. It's a depression time, but I'm afraid that, in my mind, that has to do not with Christmas. That's the individual. You get to choose how you feel and how you react to things. And if you choose to be depressed because it's not the way you remember it, or you're lonely, or you don't go to all these social things that are available to you because, I don't know why, you just don't feel like it or whatever, then, you create that reality, that depressed reality you create for yourself as well. It's kind of a neat time. One of my favorite times of the year.
Mine too. I guess, when talking about the glass half empty, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen from childhood that obviously trigger us. And a lot of times it's, it could be, I think in most cases, it stemmed around expectations. I think expectations was the thing that sort of triggered people mostly because they, they thought if they were good that they would get everything that they wanted. And, Christmas, of course, or the holidays really have nothing to do with the gift part of it has really, I mean, it is great that we are focusing on other people and trying to get them something they want, but I'm not sure that why it became such about gifts and not, and especially the outdoing, the neighbors or, however they put that, the Joneses, and mm-hmm. making sure that they have the best gift. And, it's kind of crazy. I know that that causes a lot of stress, and I know that there's a lot of emotional issues and trauma around Christmas, and I believe it has partly to do with expectations and just, just things that happened and how they've chosen to respond to the energies around them and how they look at life. And I think people that tend to see the glasses half empty probably spend a lot more time looking at the problems than looking at, all the things they can be grateful for. But it's an interesting time. But I find that there's a magical quality to the energy around this time. And I guess that's the non-physical part or something within me that I just, mm-hmm. I connect in with the magic of this time. And maybe it's the child aspects of me. And maybe it's just because there's so many children around and I'm driving a school bus now. So I have kids that I'm, taking to school and home and stuff. And I don't know what it is, but I've always, really connected in with this time.
Yes. Well, if you're around small children, you spend much time around small children, it is a very magical time. I mean, they are just so bursting with this, this expectation that they have of all the wonderful things. And it's just, kids are just really fun. I have a white hair and a white beard. And fall, I start letting it grow. I stop trimming it because it's so much fun. I'll be out walking around in a public place, in a mall or someplace like that, and a little three-year-old girl will run up and grab hold of my leg and go, Santa Claus! You know, of course, it's just delightful to share in that kind of, yes, magic is the word, that kind of magical enthusiasm. They're so excited, and it's just, you know, makes their day. And if it makes their day, it makes my day, because it's right. just fun.
Yeah.
You know, so I have a little advantage there, a little experience that you probably don't get driving your school bus. They probably don't
like
Santa Claus. But
no, I don't often get that. No, I haven't let my beard grow.
Yeah. So that's kind of an extra for me at Christmas time. It's always a lot of fun, and it is the energy of the children.
Yeah.
And how how excited they get, that kind of makes it fun like that. But you know, that's also another problem for people. Some people will have this discussion. Well, you know, what do we tell our children? You know, do we tell fibs to them and lead them on and then have them realize that we've just been toying with them? You know, when they do find out or you know, what do we say? Is it honesty, or is it psych them up with the, you know, with the Santa Claus thing? So even that sometimes distresses people. You know, I always, with my own kids, I didn't tell them things that weren't true, but I just let them enjoy the culture as well. You know, that's part of our culture. You don't have to really go out of your way to tell them things that aren't true. They'll pick all of that up on their own. And when they're old enough to actually ask the question and be serious about it, then they're old enough to know, you know, and what about Santa Claus? Is there really a Santa Claus? Well, yeah, Santa Claus is the spirit of giving. It's the spirit of the Christmas season, you know, it's that sort of thing. And we have people playing Santa Clauses all over town, but that's because they're part of the celebration of the spirit of giving. So you can always turn it into something positive and not something that's a downer for them.
Right. Okay. With that, we are going to go to break. And you're listening to Intuitive Soul with Friends. This is Lori Houston and Tom Campbell. We are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Girl, you know I've got to go. Oh, Lord, I wish it wasn't so. Save tonight and fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone. Save tonight and fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone.
CBS Radio, The Sky, and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes, and advice should not be used in place of appropriate medical, financial, legal, or other professional counseling.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
All right, welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul of Friends with Lori Houston and Tom Campbell. And Tom Campbell is mybigtoe.com, which is, has hyphens in between. So my-big-toe.com. And I'm intuitivesoul.com. And we're talking, this is a holiday special. And it is on the 30th of December, so it's a little after Christmas, but we're still talking about the magic of the holidays. And right before break, we were sort of talking about how when, with children around, it makes, it just, there's something about having the energy of children around and just the gift giving, just the fact that we're in a place of giving versus, you know, solely focused on ourselves. We're not, a lot of times we do end up, you know, making regrets and looking at the financial aspects, but mostly we get excited about the energy. And that makes me think of, you know, I think every year that that letter that was written to Virginia back on September 21st, 1897, which still seems to hold, you know, the same energy of it. I mean, you know, they were trying to, a paper had tried to discuss with a very young child, I think she was 7 or something, about, you know, Santa and whether Santa was real. And, you know, he talks exactly about, you know, what happened. It's that, you know, they're affected by the skepticism, you know, what they, you know, they do not believe in what, unless they see. And, you know, how, you know, he exists because of love and generosity and devotion exist. And it's a, and he said, you know, well, I'll read it. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. How dreary would the world be if there was no Santa Claus? It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We would have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The eternal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. And he goes on from there, but I mean, it's just, it's incredible that something written, you know, well over 100 years ago still kind of has the same energy as we still hold now.
Mm-hmm. Well, what he was talking about, of course, was the spirit of Santa Claus, the idea, the concept, not the fat little old man that, you know, comes down a chimney. You know, that's a little different. You know, that's, yes. You know, that's kind of the folklore, and it's also part of the fun. But sure, there is obviously, you know, Santa Claus is a symbol. And he's a symbol of giving and of caring. I don't know, happiness, joy, you know, for children, it's excitement, you know, it's a symbol of all of those, things. And those are all very positive things. So if we think of, you know, Santa Claus, the metaphor, Santa Claus, the symbol, then of course there is a Santa Claus. You know, there is this symbol, this idea and this concept. And it's a very lovely concept. You know, it's a very nice idea. And, do we have to, you know, take it literally? Well, children do take it literally. But as they get a little older, you know, I don't know where that is, probably sometime, you know, 5, 6 years old, they start going to school and whatever, and, you know, the kids talk to each other, you know, Santa Claus real, and yes or no. Well, by the time they get to the point of questioning, they're probably to the point where they can understand that Santa Claus is a symbol and a metaphor, and what that symbol and metaphor is about. And before they get the time of questioning, it doesn't matter. They're just having fun. And that's good that they should have fun. You know, I don't look at it in terms of, you know, lying to your children sort of thing. It's just part of our culture. You know, even the commercialism is part of our culture. That, you know, we're a very consumer-based culture. So the fact that we express some of this in our, you know, commercial drives and so on, that's just part of the way we are. That's not, you know, I don't really see that as a terrible negative. Oh, it can be overdone and people can get to the point where they're not really interested in giving anything to anybody, but they buy presents because they're obligated. You know, at that point, they've missed the whole point. You know, that's, they're not doing Christmas anymore. You know, they're just going through the motions and unfortunately, they've just missed the whole point of it. You need to get excited and enthusiastic about the meeting of the people, the social aspects, the giving and the children. And then I don't see how you can help but be kind of happy and up and smile through the season. It's a really lovely time. And you were right about the expectations. People have certain expectations. It isn't the same now that they're older and their children are grown, you know, and they find that a little depressing. But we have to change as things change, and you need to find the light. You need to find the love and the caring in any situation. You can, you know, there are those people who, given a silver lining, will find a dark cloud. And those who, given a dark cloud, will find a silver lining. And you need to be in that second group where you look and see what is there, you know, where's the fun? How can I be a part of all of this? And then open yourself up and interact with others, because, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road as far as our growing up and our spiritual quality. It's our interactions with other people. That's the key thing. That's our key, avenue for learning, for growing up, for becoming a more spiritual, more loving person. It's in our interactions with other. So this is a time when there's lots of opportunities to go interact with others. And I think sometimes if you're feeling a little on the downside, what you need to do is just kind of grit your teeth and go out there and, you know, start interacting with other people. And my guess is that in no time, you'll start feeling good again.
That is definitely true. I think a lot of us sort of, you know, kind of recluse and go inside instead of just getting out there, because it is hard not to get caught up in the magic of the season, because it's everywhere. Yes, all the other stuff is all there too, but it really is everywhere. And and as you discussed in our last show, lowering our entropy is the most important thing on our spiritual journey, and all of this energy allows us to do that.
It does. It does allow us to do that. That's the real point of our existence here, is to grow up, to lower our entropy, to become more spiritual. And we do that primarily through our interactions with other people.
Yeah.
What better time to interact with other people when there's a party every other week? Now, I know it can be overwhelming, and I know some of the parties can be very superficial, but that's only if you let them be. If you share parts of yourself, if you connect with people in a sincere sharing way, then they will do that back. And if you're superficial, they will do that back too. So it's kind of up to the individual to get out there, interact with those people and interact with them in a meaning way. Find out about these others and what they're doing and how their life is, and be not just making small talk, but care. And if you care, then they'll feel that and it will become fun. So we have to make our own fun and make this holiday into something that we enjoy, not be overwhelmed with it because, oh, we've got all this shopping to do and there's stores are crowded and it's such a zoo, and you know, and we can kind of get into that too. But nobody ever makes us feel bad or depressed or, you know, overwhelmed. That's what we do to ourselves. We're responsible for all those feelings. So, you know, for all those who kind of had it with the, you know, with the holidays by now, you know, it's time to kind of renew. And sure, take a break and take a rest, but it's the people. That's the thing that counts. It's the people. It's, you know, not only your friends and relatives, but just all the people that that you get to meet during a holiday time that you wouldn't otherwise. Make it count. That's kind of what I, you know, I enjoy the people. The gift giving, the commercialism, I really don't care too much about that. You know, the older you get, the less opening presents really thrills you. You know, it's not, that's not the important thing. The important thing is the people and dealing and connecting with them in a caring, meaningful way. And sometimes that's a little challenging, but, that's a wonderful challenge to take up.
Right. And I think it's interesting because relationships really are everything. Relationship, you know, people talk, you know, they sometimes talk in and they want to, you know, ask about their career and, you know, making a career change or, you know, all the things that they bring up. Typically, it's always because of relationships that people are having issues. It's not usually the job. It's usually because their boss is a problem or, you know, the gossip in the office. I mean, it really is always about relationships. And
that's it.
Yeah, and it's so, how do we shift the relationships we have with our family and our friends so that we can start coming from a place of caring and moving towards our growth and lowering our entropy. Like, and I guess we'll talk about that when we get back from break, but I mean, that's the thing that we really need to start thinking about more is, you know, what are the things that we can do that will shift our energy so that we can, you know, come back into a place where we're not worried about the fear, that we're not caught up in all the things that could be, you know, might happen, because fear is typically, as I believe you said last time, is that, you know, it's mostly in the future. We're not, fear isn't usually, you know, right here, right now. Sometimes it is, but most of the time it's because we're worrying about what could happen. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is from our experiences. But then, you know, how do we shift that so that, you know, when we get to those family dinners and, you know, you've had it up to your eyeballs of, you know, all the dynamics that are going on or at work, how do we shift that? So we'll talk about that when we come back from our break. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Thomas Campbell and myself, Lori Houston, on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Words only simple. Say I can say words only clear. Oh, I can feel your heart is beating. Wanting love is all that I feel when you're passing by. Wanting love is all that I see. It's there in your eyes. I say, no, 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 don't pass me over. No, 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 don't pass me by. See, I can see good things for you tonight. Yeah, good things for you. Believe I can give love and a touch. Believe I can give all time and day. Only to one heart I can give today. Yeah. Believe I can be man full of color. Believe I can be man black or white. Only to one heart I can be. Wanting love is all that I feel when you're passing by. Wanting love is all that I see. It's there in your eyes. Say no, 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 don't pass me over. No, 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 don't pass me by. See, I can see good things for you.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. You're with Intuitive Soul Friends. This is Lori Houston. I'm on intuitivesoul.com, and we're speaking with Thomas Campbell because Tom is with us every last Friday of the month, and Tom's website is mybigtoe.com, so my-big-toe.com. He has a lot of information on his website. He has a lot of free information and videos on YouTube. He is a delight to discuss because although we all come to the same place, he definitely sees the world a little bit differently than I do, yet we all come to that same place. So right before break, we were talking about, you know, what can we do to help shift us when we are in these places of, you know, getting frustrated with family or just frustrated with the holidays, worried about our bills, all of those things.
Okay. The way to approach that and the way to turn that around, the way to make relationship work for you rather than frustrate you is to care, is to love, is to make it about them, not about you. Mm. You see, if in a relationship it's about you, am I getting my needs met? Are they treating me the way I want to be treated? Are they meeting my expectations? If it's about you, then your relationships are always going to be frustrating. They're always going to be not what you want. You're always going to be disappointed. The boss is always going to annoy you. But if you make it about them instead of you, in other words, we make it based on love rather than on ego. If it's based on love, love is not about you. Love is about somebody else. It only really takes one to love. Love is a singular thing that you do. It's a giving thing. The energy is from you out, not from someone else into you. If you make these relationships based on your caring about them, and if you let go of and do not have that idea that it's about what you're getting from them and how they're treating you and if they're meeting your needs, then you will find that the relationships start to grow. They start to work. Your boss likes you better. He likes your work better. You get along with your children better, with your in-laws. All of these things start to work when you give up the approach of it being about you. Why do we worry about it being about us? You know, what gets us to that point? And it's fear. That's what we were just talking about. It's fear. It's fear that we're not getting our share. It's fear that we're not lovable, that we're not being appreciated, that somebody's going to take advantage of us. We have all of these fears that drive our interactions and our relationships. And they create the situation where the fears come true. You know, the fear itself. We have fear and we create what it is we fear. So that's how you fix a relationship, is you stop thinking about what you need out of it and, you know, that you're not getting your fair share or whatever, and you start thinking about the other person. What can you do for that other person? What could you do that would actually make your boss really, really happy? What could you do that makes your wife or your children enjoy them? What can you do for them? And if you see yourself in your relationship with people as someone who gives, someone who enables, someone who encourages, someone who is constantly aware of the other person and seeing what you can do for that other person, then your relationships will grow and you will get the things that you need from that relationship without you trying to pull them out, without you dragging them, you know, trying to capture them. It's your actual act of trying to capture what you need that you don't get what you need. Once you give it away rather than try to get, then the getting is just natural. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to work at it. You just
have to try and control
happy.
It.
Yeah, you don't try to control it. Yeah, control, that's a big word. You know, we want to control everything. We want to control what, you know, how people interact with us. We want to control how people see us, you know, our image. We want to control those people that we love and we care about, you know, our spouses, our children. You know, we want them to do it the way we want them to do it. We have a hard time just encouraging them to do it however they want to do it. And, of course, with little children, we do need to exercise some control, but we probably need to exercise less, and certainly less with other adults. So I'd say that you can fix almost any relationship by giving to it rather than wanting to control it or get from it. That's kind of the key thing there. And that's the same, you know, we were talking about the holidays and people who get depressed. It's the same way. They're wanting something. They need something to be given to them, but they need to let that go and go out and see what they can do for somebody else. What can they do? Where can they help? Where can they encourage? Who knows? Maybe you can go volunteer at a neonatal unit someplace and hold babies. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do that give back. And these things make you happy.
That's true. That's very interesting. You know, it makes it seem so simple. And I know that there are a lot of people that would go, well, what about, you know, the abusive situation and stuff? I mean, you know that a lot of people will try and put up the, well, that's not going to work in my situation because of, you know, and they'll give all of these excuses. But it really is that simple, isn't it?
It is. And most of those situations where people would say it won't work, it will work. Now, no doubt there are a few where it won't. You know, there are some people who don't respond to love, don't know how to love,
yeah,
don't have much of a capacity to love. You know, we all have different capacities to love. Some of us have a very narrow, very small capacity to love. We're so ego-centered. And, you know, you can come up with cases where that doesn't work. The best thing for you to do is to get out, right? It's time to leave. It's time to make new friends and change your situation. But that's the very small, tiny percentage. 90% of those people that says that won't work for me, it would work for you. Try it. Give. Just give what you can. Satisfy. And you will see that, give it a month, give it 2 months, and you will see that everything in your your relationships and generally in your life will start to straighten out and get a lot more pleasant. People will like you more.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same situation when they talk about the law of attraction and how, you know, if you don't have something, that you should give it first. And you know, it's kind of like, you know, when people try to create their own relationships and all of the stuff, but they're coming from a place where they're looking at the problem, and therefore, you know, they're not able to see that if, you know, I realize that it's really hard to give if you're not in a relationship, but it's not. Like, it's the act of, you know, giving love and loving yourself, giving it in a way that allows, you know, your own heart to open. And I think that's where we kind of miss a lot of it, is in the giving.
Yeah, well, it is an easy thing to do. I guess, if you look at it from an intellectual viewpoint, it's a very easy thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do for people who are self-focused, for people who, are into control, people who focus on what's the problem. Well, as soon as you think about problem, then it's what's the problem for me? See, problems are about you. There is no problem that isn't about you, because, you know, that's just the nature of it. So, oh, there's this problem. Well, the problem is you're not getting what you want. Well,
right. The
real problem is your wants, your needs, that it's about you. You see, you have to let that go. You have to kind of outgrow but what about me stage. You know, that's something that's difficult to do, though. It's easy to say, but very hard to do. But that is the key in growing up. That's the key in finding a very happy, rewarding life, is that you really care more about others than about yourself. That's, and it's interesting, Laura, you and I, like you say, we come from very different places. And what's so interesting about that is that, you know, you come from an intuitive place, probably a right brain, big picture place, one of spirituality. And I come from a scientific place. And I think it's really neat that you can have science that derives the nature of consciousness, which derives the nature of spirituality, and we both end up at the same place, always agreeing with each other of what's important and what's not and what needs to be done and how people should be and so on. We end up on the same sheet of music singing the same tune, yet, one's coming basically from the logical consequences of a scientific theory, and the other from a kind of a lifelong a dedication to metaphysical pursuits. But, of course, I kind of had the metaphysical side, too. I mean, some people look at my background with Bob Monroe and out-of-body experiences and that and see me as a mystic as well. And I guess in some definitions I am, but actually I would say that there is no such thing as really mysticism. It's all science now.
that's
my point of view. You see, science derives mysticism. So, yes, what we used to call mysticism now has a kind of a scientific basis. So I'm a mystic in the old definition and tradition, but a scientist as well. But I always enjoy talking with you because we end up seeing the world, you know, with the same vision. Mm-hmm. And with the same thoughts, but yet we, in times past, we would say we came from opposite directions, but not anymore. I think the science and the metaphysics and the spirituality now are all kind of together. They're all they're not at odds with each other any longer.
Yeah, that definitely seems to be the case. We always come to the same place. We just do come from a different direction. I would never say that I am scientifically at base, and I probably need to do a lot more questioning about some things that I find it later that I should have gone, should have questioned that more. Should have looked at it from a more scientific place. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will discuss a little bit more about this. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Friends. We're talking with Thomas Campbell and Laurie Houston on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Thursday is a power-packed day here on the Sky. Join us at noon for the I'm Thankful Network. At 1 p.m., it's the Dr. Pat Show. At 4 p.m., Colette Baron-Reed takes the stage for the Colette Baron-Reed Show. The Colette Baron-Reed Show, where intuition, practical spirituality, great advice, a little woo-woo fun, and fabulosity meet. Colette Baron-Reed is an internationally renowned intuitive counselor, educator, and best-selling author who helps others recognize and connect with their own intuition, potential, and purpose. Powerful motivational speaker, charismatic broadcast personality, and acclaimed performer, storyteller, and recording artist, Colette uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower her clients to live a life that is awake and authentic, and to create a reality that is spiritual, deliberate, and meaningful. Call in early. The lines are hot. 248-545-7685. Instant feedback at newskyradio.com. New Sky Radio. NewSkyRadio.com. New horizons, no boundaries. Powered by CBS, Yahoo, and Radio.com.
Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston from intuitivesoul.com and Thomas Campbell from mybigtoe.com, and it's my-big-toe.com. Tom has a lot of information. I know I keep saying this, but he has hours and hours. If you want to understand more about what he's talking about, hours and hours of video on YouTube, and It's really fascinating. So I do encourage you. You can just look up his name, Tom Campbell or Thomas Campbell, or you can go to his I can't remember the name, but it's TWCJR44. And that is his, I guess, label for his for the YouTube. But if you look up Thomas Campbell, his YouTube's come up, and then you can play on his site because it's quite amazing. And all free. So Tom gives away a lot of information, and I think it's because he's so passionate about what he does. But we were talking a little bit, we've been talking about the energy of the holidays and the Christmas season. Why don't we bring in, and I know we're not going to be able to do it justice, but why don't we bring in the non-physical aspects of this? Because there's a lot of metaphors and symbols to Christmas. You know, we look at angels and, you know, the energy of Santa Claus, and, you know, that is all in the non-physical. It's all about metaphors. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, Tom? Because that's definitely different than I talk.
Okay. Well, I'll have to give a little bit of background on that. So that people will understand where I'm coming from. What I have done is created a theory of consciousness, if you will, and because consciousness is the basis of everything, then a theory of consciousness leads into a theory of everything else. And surprisingly enough, it also leads into good physics. It leads into, theory of relativity and theory of quantum mechanics all fall out of this theory of consciousness, because consciousness is fundamental. So that's what we were talking about before, is coming from a scientific viewpoint. And when you do that, then things like the non-physical are no longer just metaphysical concepts, but they are logical consequences of a scientific theory, if you will, scientific concepts. So what is the non-physical? What are we talking about there? Well, consciousness itself is, is we would call non-physical. Information is non-physical. Okay, how much does information weigh, and how much space does it take? Well, of course, information doesn't take up space and doesn't weigh anything. Information is non-physical. Anything physical has weight and volume. That's how we define what's physical. We talk about this physical universe that we live in, and in this theory, this physical universe is a virtual reality. It's just information, and consciousness is a information system, okay, an information field. So it's not as complicated as it all sounds, but that leads us then to this non-physical spirit, spirituality. Where does that fit in? Well, in a virtual reality with everything basically being based on information, which is consciousness, then we have to interpret the data that we get, the information we get. And as we interpret it, the only way we can interpret it is as symbols and metaphors. Okay, so we get data and we turn that data into symbols and metaphors in terms of our physical reality, because that's where our language is. Our language is a language that's derived and used to describe this physical reality and us in the physical reality. We can't communicate with each other until we take the information we get, the non-physical information, and translate it into metaphors and symbols that then we can express in language. Language, spoken and written, is just metaphors and symbols. That's all it boils down to. Language is nothing other than symbols and metaphors. So to begin with, we talk about the physical versus the non-physical, and that, as it turns out, is just a point of view. You can think of everything as non-physical, or you could think of everything as physical. It matters not, because those are just terms we use to describe where we are at the present time. In other words, it's a function of the observer. When we're in this physical reality, then it's physical. Our universe is physical, and the dream reality is non-physical. When we're in a dream, the dream reality appears physical to us, and this reality we generally call physical does not seem to be physical. It's just not there. It's not present. So everything in this physical universe we call physical, just, and everything else we call non-physical. Well, what is everything else? Most of what's real and important falls into that category of everything else, the non-physical. That's consciousness. We are consciousness. So we are non-physical beings. This gets us then into spirituality. You know, spirituality talks about us, we humans, our non-physical part, you know, which we call our spiritual part. And as it turns out, that is us. That's our, that is our major, you know, that's really where we exist. We exist as non-physical beings, as spiritual beings, as consciousness. These are all saying the same thing. And then we have this virtual physical reality that we play in order to have relationships and interactions so that we can grow the quality of our consciousness, or spiritual growth is another way to say it. Of course, in scientific terms, I call that, you know, lowering the entropy of your consciousness. So we are non-physical beings. This place we call physical is just data. It's just information that we interpret. Okay, now you talked about guides and angels and those kinds of things. Those are just metaphors that we use to describe the data we get. So we are consciousness. We can interact with consciousness, the larger consciousness system. And when we do, when we interact, when we get data and information from this larger consciousness system, and we have conversations with it, then we just make up a metaphor, call it a being, because anything that we have a discussion with in our world is a being. So when you interact with the larger consciousness system, you may interact and call that a guide or an angel or, you know, dead Uncle Fred, you know, who's come back, you know, to help you out, whatever. You may see it as a religious figure. You know, it may be Jesus or Mary or Buddha or any other sort of figure. These are metaphors. And what we're actually getting, let me put it this way, what the metaphors are, they're a metaphor for our personal interface with the larger consciousness system. So we're consciousness. We're a part of this system. We're all netted with each other, all of us individuated units of consciousness, and we all can interact with the larger system as well as with each other. And when we do, then we explain these, we convert them into language so we can talk to somebody else about it by calling them beings. In fact, that's what we are. We call each other beings because we share data and we're interacting, and it's all in consciousness. Now, I know this is very confusing for listeners out there. If you haven't, you know, if we haven't had the long discussion ahead of this, you know, I sound a little crazy, you know, saying all this stuff, but it actually all is science, believe it or not. And that's kind of a quick step into the big picture of reality. So, So we do relate to this larger consciousness system, and we do it through beings, but those beings are just our metaphors for our interface with the larger consciousness system.
Wow. Well, you're right. That was a very short version, and I knew that was going to happen, but I guess what we'll have to do is we're going to have to really step into this at some point. Maybe our next show, who knows? We've got the next show will be obviously January, and it will be January the 27th. So maybe we'll talk about, delve into the non-physical, because it really, that was a lot of information and, you know, metaphors and symbols, and understanding the whole non-physical would be very important. But right now, our show's over. So thank you very much, Tom, for discussing with us again some fascinating information. And
oh,
I know
you're very welcome. I'm afraid I confused more people than I helped with that last
Well, you know what? They can go, and you've got lots of information about that. So if they're really confused about it, that they can look up some of the information. But I think we will go into that more next show and really give them a better understanding. So thank you again. Tom can be reached at mybigtoe.com, so my-big-toe. I'm at Intuitive Soul. You've been listening with Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and Thomas Campbell on Sky Radio.